The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Jim Baker resigned.
Praise your name. I can't trust in a political world. cold.
Low beam light. God, I miss when you were mine. Back when that song was on.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. We are live now. It was a pre-recorded show for the first hour, and Mark Mangi and I are here now. And hopefully you're with us still. I know somebody called me and said, hey, we heard that one before. I'm sorry. I was running behind. I had an event this morning, and I brought some of my wares from my event. I've been at Harley's Smokehouse down there in the Amish Marketplace at the Valley Marketplace over on South Avenue, 6121. South Avenue, and Mark is over here, and he's trying to get it all in. He was outside trying to eat a golden arch, and I stopped him from the golden arch, and I said, hey, don't eat that junk. I got something for you, and what am I? And he's happy now.
I'm happy.
He's
these
happy
are
now.
Just wonderful. You guys got to go there and try this stuff. It's just these ribs are outstanding.
And today, today they're having a grand opening down in the Valley Marketplace. They've got specials going on all over the market. They've got free stuff. Buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one half off. Buy one, get a loaf of bread. Buy a loaf of bread and get another mini loaf free. And they've got ribs for $15, baby back ribs, $15 a rack. And if you like, Mark is having a blast. I wish you guys could see him.
Tracy and I have a love of food. And,
yes,
and
we
this
do.
This is just, you know, this is just wonderful. You know, food is the great unifier. It unifies liberals and conservatives.
Absolutely.
To a degree, unless you get the tofu set.
And we have, and then we, you know, it's a makeshift lunch hall. You know, we don't have a whole lot of space. Don't have a whole lot of kitchen stuff. So we've got these plastic forks, these pseudo napkins that are energy efficient.
Yeah, it all tastes the same.
And he's trying to slide this barbecue sauce on these ribs while trying to answer this BlackBerry while trying to talk on the radio and chew at the same time. And he's having a good time.
But notice the chewing takes priority here. The food always takes priority.
You're doing good.
When we went out to the fair, we had great food. This is just outstanding. Got to get these folks out selling the stuff at the fair next year.
That might not be a bad idea.
Wow.
And it is about. Hey, local caller, your mic is on.
Hey, good afternoon, Tracy.
Hey, how you doing, honey?
I'm doing all right. I was listening to your show, and three quick points.
Okay.
South Carolina's right. You got to relocate. And a lot of people not willing to relocate.
I got a question, honey. You got to relocate to where?
To the job.
You know what? You got to tell me a little bit about the show because that was a pre-recorded show, and I just came up live about 3 minutes ago. So,
oh, that what happened? Oh, you know what? You know what? I had heard that piece before that you played, and I thought you just played it again. I was really into the argument.
I'm glad. That's no, it's not. That's a good thing. That's good. That means I can go and take a run, and y'all won't know, and it's okay, and you still listen, and I'm all right. That's good.
No,
that's good.
Like
so
that.
Now,
like
but you do need, to. If you call me and tell me you got a job in wherever, I need to pack up and go to it. If, you know, I shouldn't be afraid of anything.
Yeah, you was arguing with Philadelphia. And he was talking about
that ain't nothing new. That ain't nothing new.
Occupy Wall Street and how you know you get a degree and can't find a job.
Hey, I mean you need to, people need to teach their children and teach people how to pay attention to the trends when they are trying to get a job. You don't just go out and say I like to do this and then nobody wants your wares and then wonder why you can't make a living at it unless you want to be a starving student.
But my son just graduated from Ohio State Med. He's in North Dakota, 150,000 starts.
Do we have is he a Buckeye guy? The sun scratcher from Ohio State?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, right.
He's a Buckeye guy. He's
okay.
A local guy.
All right.
But I was waiting for
you. I hadn't planned
to.
I told you you could drive in and open your window and tell.
You know, how Jeff going to call in and then talk on the phone? While I mean, seriously, call in, push the button, talk about he wanted to go live. Know that we hear his conversation and going through a drive. I sound like he's going through a drive-thru. So go ahead, make your argument, because I'm with you on that. You need to move. Pack up and move, go where the job is, and then make your money, then come back home.
Yeah, do it that way. A lot of people don't want to relocate. But no, I thought you were talking about schools. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're not interrupting. It's open mic. We can talk about anything.
We know the one I wanted to tell you then.
What's that? Because you haven't called in a little while. What's going on?
I'm going to school.
I know.
And I remember you used to argue. We used to have discussions about... education system here in Youngstown.
Yeah.
okay, now what? And then you were talking about placement, and when you go to college with a Youngstown high school education,
right?
It's about money too, though. If you can make me take three extra classes, that's three extra paydays you got.
That's true.
And that's what I see them doing. Yeah, cause they made, like, I had to start beginning in math.
Absolutely.
Not that I'm a whiz, but
remedial classes make money for the institution that you're going to because they put you in those classes and you're paying for an education that you should have gotten free during your formative years.
But I remember a couple of your callers were saying, I think one guy said that somebody was a valedictorian.
Absolutely, out of sticks.
And I think the numbers are screwed. They want you to take extra class.
I agree. I agree with you. We have a flawed educational system when it comes to a lot of things. We just need to wake up and change it. The problem is we're not changing it.
Every question got the same answer. Bottom line is it's about money. And that's what I see them doing.
It drives America.
Exactly. So
everything's about money.
Everything's about money.
That was my point exactly. No, you used to argue about that a lot, about how these kids wasn't getting a good education. I've seen some bright kids out of here, school.
And they're still not bright.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Even the lightest bulb in the stack is not bright enough for what they should be. I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and I was telling her, she said, you know, I really wasn't a math student, and I really didn't do well when I was in school, and I'm getting ready to go back to school, and yada, yada. And I said, you know, it really wasn't you. The problem is the teacher. They did not give it to you where you could actually apply it to your learning pattern.
True.
Yes? No, my learning pattern was?
What's that?
My learning pattern was a nun with a ruler who gave us tons of homework at night, and we would spend 2 hours doing multiplication tables over.
We're taking homework out. They're taking homework out because they feel as though it's too much on the children. It's not. It's a discipline. You need to have homework. It's a discipline that you need to have. You go from high school to where you're reading, you know, one chapter to where you're going into college, and they want you to read five chapters, and you've got three classes, and they all want 15 chapters collectively. That's a problem if you don't have a discipline.
Do you know how much time this country spends trying to make unaccountability the rule? Right on into the education system with this new system that they're using. Do you read about that? They've taken how they do their standardized tests. 1 and 1 equals 3.
If you can explain it. Right.
What is that?
Crazy.
I haven't read about it, so I don't know what the system is.
I haven't gone into detail with it, but from my understanding from listening in casual conversation, it's really they're not changing it. What they're doing is they're making people think it's a bad way of taking. They're trying to overthink something that shouldn't be thought about. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. It is what it is. You don't have to overthink how to explain it. And, yeah, abstract math is an important part of life, but most people don't use it, so don't trip on it.
I mean, when you get up an airplane, you know, that's all dependent on math. I don't want to be going up on a plane where somebody says, yeah, I know 2 + 2 = 4, but in this case it's probably 5, and down goes the plane.
There are things that we need to change that we don't change, and things that we don't need to change we're trying to change, and we're all becoming idiots behind it.
Yeah, you know, they were doing a thing on the radio the other day, or the television, and they were talking about this kid that got caught with a pocket. He went to a football game with a pocket knife in his pocket, and he realized he had been a bad student because he brought a pocket knife onto the football game. He was just coming from Boy Scouts or something. He went and he told the professor they suspended him for 10 days. Why would they do that?
Because he told on himself.
Well, so what's the lesson?
I'm telling you, common sense is no longer common.
Yeah.
The more we learn, the dumber we get.
Now we're getting too smart.
We ain't even, well, I don't know, they ain't smart, they're just dumb.
No, he said about flying an airplane at numbers.
Yeah,
they get ready to make a drone where there's no pilot.
Oh, they already got those.
No, no, I'm talking about a passenger plane.
I ain't getting on that.
That's what I'm saying. This cat on a joystick somewhere in Idaho, he ain't got nothing to lose.
Hear me what I'm saying. I'm not doing that. I'm not getting on the aeroplane without a pilot. Not happening.
That's what I'm saying.
That don't. No. I might have been. I might be young, but I ain't that dumb. No. Get on. No.
Go ahead with yourself, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm glad you called, and thanks for listening to the best of, because it was the best of. I have no idea what we were talking about.
I thought it was good. I was listening.
Very good.
That's right. I thought, you know, I want to get on this conversation, and you told me not to come until 1.
I know.
But you got me food.
I'm right. I think Jeff called in because I never bring food when he's here. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. Was that what? Real when you were talking to Philadelphia, or was that some time ago?
That was some time ago.
Okay, well, Philadelphia was absolutely correct. Barack Obama was chosen because he was an empty piece of paper. You could write on it whatever you wanted to, and then you couldn't say nothing against the paper because the paper was brown. And so, therefore, it made him a lot more palatable than a Hillary Clinton. And so that was why he was absolutely correct about that. I understand his other stuff was not quite coming up to the bar to me, but he was right about that part.
Jeff,
look at the trouble.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Everybody knows about the conversation but me, because I have no clue what you guys are talking about. I have
gotcha.
No clue what
you're saying.
With
that's okay. He
you can go ahead and explain it, because other people were listening. So
the caller was from Philadelphia.
Yeah. You and he were saying, that Hillary Clinton, you told him that Barack Obama, he told you that Barack Obama was the transition of our economy, and our economy was going to be changed over with him, because that's what they planned, and they used him to do it. And you said, "What? No, that's not true, because they could have done the same thing with Hillary Clinton." And no, they couldn't have done the same thing with Hillary, because Hillary had too much baggage, and the minute she tried to do some of the crazy stuff that Barack Obama's doing and getting away with, they would have nailed her to the cross at that moment, and they wouldn't have had to worry about, you know, her being a woman or anything like that, because she's hard, iron pants Hillary Clinton.
Now I have a question.
Yeah.
So will it make a difference in 2 more years when she runs, if she wins? Will it make a difference? Can she get other things done? Or will she be another person who's going to be a...
Yes, if she wins, if by chance she wins, yes, that can happen. Because then you've already taken her out of a certain limelight at this particular time. You got all these crazy left-wing late blooms that will support her because... You know, because she is Hillary Clinton, they want this to happen again. They're looking forward to this because they now have seen Barack Obama is not the leader that he says he's supposed to be, and he's failing left and right. Even though they're trying to prop him up, they can't really do it.
Jeff, I think you may be right, because I had a conversation this morning, and people still like this guy. I mean, you and Mark may be on the same page, but there are some people out there that still think he is.
He fooled the masses. The masses are loving him still because he's been able to really, you know, do that. It's the Republicans. They're doing this wrong. They're stopping him from doing his programs. His programs are killing you. They're destroying you. He already spent three quarters of a trillion on nothing. It did nothing. They're still printing $85 billion a month. They said yesterday we're going to continue because it's not changing out here. Three quarters of your millions of jobs are what? Part-time jobs. This is craziness. But you can't
tell
people that.
And that's what I'm saying. And so there are people out here that still are in love with what he's doing. And right now, he said, I just saw Nancy Pelosi said that President Obama will veto any bill that comes across his desk that defunds Obamacare.
Yeah, well,
they have a
problem. He's going to just have to do it then. And
I'm going to stand by my comment. I think they're working to get him out of office right now. I think what I'm seeing and what I'm not, more importantly, what I'm not seeing, I think is really, really interesting. You know, it's come to the point right now where you're talking with people, and I had a discussion yesterday with somebody with a liberal bent
who I asked, name one aspect of American life that's better than it was 5 years ago. And the guy couldn't come up with one. And he got upset. Because it's every single thing that this guy said he's going to do, he's done the opposite. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. Our foreign policy is in shambles in every sense of the word. Obamacare is going down the toilet. It won't work.
But people, the American people, the average American person, 47% of the population still does not see anything that just came out of your mouth.
Wait. And they're going to see it beginning the 1st of October as they're going into next year and have to deal with Obamacare. They will see it. There's been an increase in the number of people that are receiving government benefits, but there has been no increase in government benefits. There has been, these folks don't have one measurable thing that they can say is better than it was last year or the year before or the year before. And I don't see Joe Biden anywhere. And I think that is the really telling thing. Where is Joe Biden? They've either buried him. Or he's up to no good, and I'm suspicious. I think it's the latter.
I agree with this IRS thing, and
if you're watching it, you know, and it's been under the news a little bit because there have been bigger stories. But what has been going on in the Internal Revenue Service over the last week has been getting closer and closer and closer to the White House. And what's been going on in Benghazi, what went on in Benghazi is getting closer and closer and closer to Hillary Clinton. And there's going to come a point in time when they're going to, once that IRS thing hits the White House, he's gone. He's not going to be able to, he's doing nothing. Even the Democrats are walking away from the guy now.
But they don't know how to tap ballet dance. They don't know how to do this.
If they think it's going to keep Hillary Clinton from getting elected, they'll dump them in a minute.
Now, listen to this. Now, I'm reading something that just came. It's called an exclusive, and it's from the Daily Mail in the UK. And it's an exclusive, and it says that, remember Jennifer Flowers?
Yes.
Jeff, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Jennifer Flowers, she, after 2 decades with Bill Clinton, she reveals that they'd be together now if it hadn't been for Chelsea, and how he confided in her that Hillary Clinton was bisexual.
Well,
yeah, who
the,
didn't
the
know
bisexual
that
thing is almost a given because the people that I know thought she was a lesbian.
But what are those that look like us going to do with that, Tracy? They're going to celebrate that like you would not believe and say, see, you guys are so prejudiced against these people. Now, look, she's going to do it, and she's bisexual. There's nothing wrong with it. She can operate like that, too. So you have to understand, you have extreme ignorance of the people because they don't understand what is happening to the country. They think that these things are good things that are coming out because Republicans sat back and allowed the other side to make them demons.
Hey, Jeff, hold on just a second. Hey, Mark, how's that loaf of bread over there?
Oh, no,
Mark,
I've died and gone to heaven. This is wonderful.
You guys got
I'm sorry,
food
Jeff.
Again. Food again. That's right. This is Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to come through sometime before 3 o'clock. No, I want food.
Don't come because Mark left you nothing but bones.
Oh,
you know I'm eating.
Corner.
You know I'm eating rabbit food.
You tell me that was lunch for two, Jeff. It's lunch for one man, and I ate every bite of it.
I don't blame you, man.
Okay, go ahead and make a statement. I just had it. It's from the Valley Marketplace over on South Avenue. I wanted to just throw that in for you. Go ahead, Jeff. But you should have saw Mark. He's rattling. He's doing like he's rattling this piece of bread, and he keeps on trying to do a small piece at a time. And it ain't
working. As long as they ain't licking his plate, he'll be okay.
Out of that big loaf.
It's your loaf. I can't eat it. But, so what you do with your loaf is your business. All you're missing is a little butter. Okay, go ahead.
I've got all the sweetness I have right here sitting.
Oh, hear that. See, Jeff, that's why I bring Mark food. See.
Oh, my God. See, Mark. see, that's the same thing that's happening with the Democrats right now. They're brainwashed.
Hey, Jeff, it's not that they're brainwashed. She's got the switch to turn me off and, you know, over there.
I have the switch to turn Jeff off. He doesn't do anything over there. And
she keeps on bringing you small gifts, Mark. See, as long as you get that small gift, you're right there. Ooh, Tracy, she's beautiful. She's great.
Hear that? You got to understand that the number is 347-945-5229. Mics are on for everybody. I just had to say that because Mark was over here trying to not rattle that bag, and he kept on going back in the bag and getting pieces at a time. I just thought I'd call you out on it because the bread is absolutely wonderful.
That's wonderful bread.
And I'm sitting over here. I got cucumber.
I'm a carb guy. I like carbs.
Me too. Carbs
are my friend. I'm not supposed to eat them, but I'm a carb guy.
Ginger's not
going to
let you come in here pretty soon because every time you come in, I bring you food, and you know she's going to be mad at me.
Hey, I've taken off 10 pounds and an inch.
Oh, good going.
Off of my waist, although not up here. It's down below.
All because of me. Good. Okay, we're in business.
I think the country's going to wake up. It's going to wake up in ways that that we're not used to. One of the things that I was thinking about this morning, because I sat through some really contentious meetings last night, was the degree of discontent in the nation. And I've never seen anything like it before, and I don't think Americans know how to direct that discontent right now. But they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. Things are all out of whack. I don't get it.
Thank you. I think you're right, Mark. And because this is the thing, it's going to be epic proportions of things going wrong, and he's not going to be able to blame it all on the Republicans this time. You're going to have your hardline haters. There's no doubt about it. Because you know I get them every day, but the bottom line
it's
is
still Bush's fault. How are you not going? Yeah. I mean, hold on, you don't understand what's going on in America right now. Do you really believe? Do you realize people are still blaming George Bush?
The articles.
Some people still blaming him, but the news media is getting sick of this because did you see the two former defense Panetta and Gates this morning?
No,
yes.
I did not. Did you
yeah,
see
I
it?
Saw
they
them.
Slammed, they slammed Obama. They slammed him, saying, this is not a policy. Going in and bombing a country for a couple of days to wipe out a couple things that you may or may not find a hit is not policy. This is ridiculous, and the world looks at you differently behind it. Now, we've been telling people the world is laughing at us right now. They're laughing. They're laughing at your foreign policy. Iran is saying, "Go pound salt. We're going to get the bomb anyway." Russia
and Putin
go
is becoming
salt.
And Putin is becoming the most powerful man in the world.
And the moralistic leader, because Putin is up there talking about, "No, we're not allowing gay rights to happen in our country, where our populations are declining. We need to have our populations growing." We can't have, this lobby coming and making sense like that, you know, making inroads in and keeping us from reproducing. We're not doing that. And it's not right anyway. It's against nature. Now Putin's saying this. And then our president is the LGBT evangelist. What?
I never in a million years that I'd sit and think I'd watch Dennis Kucinich and Greg Palcott from Fox News interview that Assad guy in Syria the other day. Now, when you can have people like Greg Palcott and Dennis Kucinich sit down and think alike.
That says something.
That says something.
That says something.
This is where we're at. You know, the people that run the media, they're not stupid. They may be ideologues, but they're not stupid. They know we're in trouble. You know, our currency's in trouble. You know, they keep printing money. You know, sooner or later, it can't go on this way. And when the Fed stops, that's when the economy is going to hurt. And right now, they're afraid to stop because of what's going on in Washington.
Then we had a guy on yesterday talking about currency wars.
Yeah.
And that's so real. It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to see it in our oil prices. I mean, I think he has a little bit of cushion because I think, you know, we're producing energy now in the United States at a rate that is actually affecting, you know, what we pay here is not going to be reflected in the world markets like it was maybe 10 years ago. But it's we have some issues. I think the public's going to catch up. I think the news media is starting to catch up, and I honestly think that they're not going to be able to keep him in as president if they expect to keep the presidency in 2016. He's got to go. They can't have three and a half years of a lame duck. They can't do it. The country won't survive it.
You agree with that, Jeff?
Absolutely. I believe he's absolutely correct. I hope he's absolutely correct because we really can't take it. And, you know, we were talking the other day and a lot of people poo-pooed us on that it could possibly be a civil war in the country. I absolutely believe it can be. Because there's people that aren't going to put up with this stuff. The stuff he's doing is absolutely ridiculous, and the only people that don't know is the people that don't have any idea how the doggone country works. And they don't know how this works. They don't know what it means for Putin to be making, making decisions, or as they would say on the streets, being a shot caller. You know, that's what he's doing. He's calling the shot. He's making sure people live or die, and his guy is still in power in the Middle East, and he's controlling how much oil is being it's being sold for and who it's being sold to over there, and the world bankers are ticked off. So if he gets removed from office, this is going to be the reason why, because he failed to get Assad out of there. So I expect before the end of the year, if we go into Syria anyway and fake that that Assad actually didn't live up to his end of a bargain that was mediated by the people of Russia and the others in Geneva. Just watch that. That's going to happen.
I want to know what's going to happen when Americans just say no.
I don't know if America knows to say no.
I think they will, because is this filters down into the young folks. That's where I'm looking.
Drones,
I'm not worried about people my age.
Drones will fly.
Yeah, they're going to say no.
Drones will be a flying. Yeah, sooner or later.
Hold on, Jeff. Hold on, what'd you say, Mark?
No, well, I understand they're going to go. What do you think he's building this national security force for? You think it's against Islamists? No, it's against us. His Homeland Security and everything else that's going on with those tanks. They're geared at Americans. We're viewed as the enemy. You know, here comes this dude, goes around shooting over there. You know, they don't care about him. They care about people like me or people like Jeff. That's what they care about, and the IRS is showing it right now because they were subversives, and we're using propaganda. And those are the words that have been used, that have surfaced in the last 2 days that have been used in the IRS. You know, this guy's a nutcase, and I don't think I keep going back to it. Americans are going to say no. They might not direct it at him, but you're going to see it start to collapse. These people aren't stupid. The Democrats know if they want to get reelected. They can't get reelected if the population's against them.
And listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600 Alabama. When I come back, I'm going to pull you up. Glad to have Jeff calling in, and we'll see you on the other side of my break.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Why wait an hour for prescriptions? Fred's Family Pharmacy will get it to you fast. We match the $4 generic prices listed at the big box pharmacies. Locally owned and operated, Fred's Family Pharmacy offers free local delivery and free blood pressure tracking. Open daily from 9 to 6, Saturday till 1, closed Sunday. Stop in and pick up your free medical record wallet card. 1136 East State Street in Salem, across from Circle K. 330-332-9919. Fred's Family Pharmacy.
Looking for the right car at the right price? Come on out to the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. There's over 300 unbeatable deals, like a 2013 GM certified Chevy Impala from only $239 a month, and that's with zero down. Plus, we've even got 0% financing. That could save you thousands. Right now, our super lot has back to school specials from $119 a month, trucks and SUVs from $149 a month, and plenty of financing for everyone. All at the store that has just what you're looking for. The Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. 3.9%, 578 months plus tax, title and fees.
Sometimes the road from hospital to home is not direct. Often the road to recovery takes a detour for rehabilitation and nursing care. If you or someone you love needs professional help to get back on the road after an illness or surgery, consider Crandall Medical Center. The physical, occupational, and speech therapy staff at Crandall Medical Center work together to help you tune up after surgery or a hospital stay so that you are in top condition when you return home. While at Crandall Medical Center, you will have your own rest stop. All rooms are private. There is no extra charge for private rooms, regardless of your insurance coverage. And you can fuel your body with nutritious meals recommended by our professional dietitians and prepared by our experienced chef and kitchen staff. Crandall Medical Center is on the campus of Copeland Oaks Retirement Community in nearby Sebring. Call 330-938-6126 for more information or visit us on the web at crandallmedicalcenter.com.
News Talk 600 is working to help put our valley back to work. We've come together with local employers and training centers to connect job seekers with potential new openings and new careers. Visit our website and click on Features. That's where you'll find links to local companies and training centers, and you can even submit your resume right online. Putting our valley and America back to work. Visit 600WSOM.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
This is an important announcement for all Americans who don't have health insurance. Pay attention. A special health insurance hotline has now been set up especially for you. Even if your health is bad or if you have pre-existing conditions, you can now get health insurance. Grab a pen and take down this number or store it in your cell, but call 1-800-809-7945. That's 1-800-809-7945. When you call, you'll get free information. Free information that will let you know about health insurance plans that are now available to all Americans. The current government administration is mandating that in the near future, all Americans must have health insurance to avoid unnecessary taxation. All Americans are strongly urged to call this health insurance hotline today for free info. In addition, your employment and credit history are not a factor. Protect yourself and your family from sudden, unexpected medical costs that can cause serious financial hardship. Call the health insurance hotline at 1-800-809-7945. That's 1-800-809-7945. Don't delay. Call 1-800-809-7945 today.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
This is Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. And we are live now. The first hour was a pre-recorded best of show. I had no idea. I wasn't listening to any radio on the way in. I was in on the phone and all that kind of stuff. So
doing important stuff like getting me lunch.
I was over at the Valley Marketplace, as a matter of fact. They had their grand opening this morning, and they have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful mix of goods and services and vendors in there, from fried pies at Aunt Martha's to some of the most comforting sweet, overnight potato salad. I've never had an overnight potato salad. I've never had potato salad that's that comforting. It's comforting.
What's the basis of the dressing? Is it like a vinegar or a mayonnaise?
No, it's a mayonnaise base. Oh. And when I say, I mean, I'm a potato salad girl. I've had potato salad all my life. But this was a comfort food. It was like macaroni and cheese on steroids.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's over at her name is Ada's Salads. And their produce as well. I have to say that I went back to Kill Creek Meats, and it's an old-fashioned butcher shop where you have people in there that are actually cutting the meat for you. And they have choice meats. I got what they call the Jake steak. And the Jake steak was a T-bone steak. It was a bone-in. Oh, no, it was a bone-in ribeye. And I took it home, and it's marinated in this marinade stock made by this guy's name Jacob, and it's called J-A-K-E, Jake Steak. And it was absolutely marvelous. You could actually cut it with a paper knife.
I love marinated steak.
I took it out of the package. Cut it and put it in the – I broiled it because it was too cold to grill. I put it in the broiler, and I cooked it. And my mom likes hers until it's dead and you can't get any more life out of it. And it was still tender.
Wow.
And you could cut it with a plastic knife. And so Harley's Barbecue, Smokehouse Barbecue in the back. Don't forget to stop at Chorus. Chorus is the one that has the cinnamon buns.
Oh.
Yeah.
I devoured mine last weekend.
Yeah.
I stopped by on Friday and picked one up, and I just ate the thing. It was wonderful. The butter. Lots of butter.
Butter on it. You can do any...
Salted butter. Not that unsweet butter.
No.
So you got to have some salted
they've
butter.
Got, for those people out there that are baking, they've got puddings and cheesecake. But for those people that are bakers out there, they actually have bulk foods out there for fillings. And I know some of us are getting geared up for the holidays. And if you're like me, you're
bulk foods is a big savings. Boy, my wife knows. She goes to an Amish store when she goes back to visit her sister-in-law in Shiloh. And I'll tell you what, the prices are.
Yes, they are. The prices are good.
Big difference.
Prices are
big
good.
Big difference.
So if you get a chance, so this is the grand opening weekend. They got great deals going on there. They've got great pizzas. I think I want to say $1.99. They've got all-you-can-eat pancakes at the Our House restaurant. And they have Amish banquet-style weddings. It's called an Amish wedding, and it's a banquet-style meal. It's all-you-can-eat. You call in your reservations, and they bring you major platters to the table. And you just eat like an old-fashioned meal with the mashed potatoes and everything on your meal, on your plate, on your table.
Now,
it's kind of cool.
I want to be your remote guy. When you're going there again, you let me know. I'll go over there and be the remote guy for you.
Mark. No. So I think I went through almost all of it. Between now and 3 o'clock, I'll hit the rest of them. But it's over at the Amish Marketplace, and they brought us food today. They supplied our lunch today, and so we got to go tell. And it was good. I didn't have to pay Mark to say that. Alabama, your mic is on. Well, he ain't talking.
Hey, how y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Good. How you doing, Alabama?
I'm doing pretty good. I just called to listen to y'all. I went on my little lunch break with my coworker right here. But I was listening to y'all, though.
You listening in?
Yeah.
I am.
Y'all talking about how bad he is as president. I agree.
The question is, is he that bad, or is America just that bad? Because the president is a sum total.
I don't think we're that bad. I just there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed, not just the presidency, because it's going to be another guy, and everybody's going to think, okay, he's not like the other guy. And they're both going to do the same thing. So it's, you know, I mean, it's a lot of other issues that are underlining. But when I try to call and address them, y'all call me a conspiracy theorist. So
you are a conspiracy theorist, but it's okay. I love you.
But see, a conspiracy theorist just means that you believe the government lies to you. So we all are conspiracy theorists.
I am a conspiracy theorist on some issues, but I am very, very, very concerned, because I think, is President Obama that bad, or is America just that naive and just that bad? Because I think the president is a sum total of the American people or the American.
There's a guy in the U.S. I agree with that last statement wholeheartedly. The reason he's in there is because of a lack of understanding of people. I don't know if Diva's listening. We done about the guy. We went to fisticuffs yesterday, but
I listened to you. We were already off the air, and you guys were going at it, and it was a pretty good dialogue. Go ahead.
But my thing is, this is my thing. There are a lot of people that don't understand the basic fundamental purpose of government. Some people believe that government is there to help people, to meet the needs of people. Some people believe that government is just there to allow you to pursue what will make you happy, but they can't ensure that you're going to get it. That's not what
government. But whose fault is that people believe that? Because right now,
the education system in
Michigan, they have proposed a bill that would require people who live in Michigan who are on welfare, they have to pass a drug test, and they would have to work, do some type of volunteer work. I've talked about that before. Six texted me this morning, and I don't know what time it was the text came in, because it was at the crack of dawn when I saw it. And he said what that will make is a permanent underclass. He called it an unintended consequence. Community service in order to receive welfare would create a permanent menial underclass.
Why is that?
I'm not quite sure. I just read the text.
If it doesn't create a permanent underclass to just sit at home and wait on the check, but if you have to go and do something and require some sort of effort to get taxpayers' dollars off the rest of us who get up every morning and go to work, then you're creating a permanent underclass. I'm lost. I think that instills principle in people that probably a lot of times don't have to think like that, because I know people that are lazy, that don't want to work, that will ride the government's dole. But they're good people. But they're, you know, that's the problem. Everybody, if you follow these people home, a lot of these people are still good people. They just have flaws. And, you know, I think the government is not their responsibility, because there isn't anything in that conversation yesterday. It's almost like there is nothing that the government shouldn't be paying for. Nothing. Food, clothes, shelter, insurance, transportation. There isn't anything in life that the government shouldn't pay for, and that's sad.
I agree. I don't agree. I think people should have to volunteer. But when you talk about America, and you talk about President Obama, we talk about all this, I think President Obama is a manifestation of America today, because he is what we have become.
He is a master of non-accountability.
And it is a manifestation of the American people.
And we have made being unaccountable for our actions. We've raised it to an art form. Whether you look, for example, zero tolerance in schools. Well, we're going to do zero tolerance for violence in our schools. That's a crock. There's no such thing as zero tolerance. But it's a way that the bureaucrats of the schools don't have to make a decision. Nobody's going to be accountable. So it would be as if somebody breaks into my house and I hit him on the head with a lamp, I'm going to go to jail because somebody broke into my – we have zero tolerance for violence. Well, okay. Life doesn't work that way. Now, you look at the political stuff over there. All I can think of is that cartoon that ran in The Vindicator years and years ago with all the Democratic officials standing in a circle, pointing at each other, saying it's his fault. That's what you're getting in Washington. Hillary Clinton's not accountable. Barack Obama's not accountable. Secretary of Defense isn't accountable. This person's not accountable. The IRS isn't accountable. Who's accountable?
But now, hold it. Congress is not accountable. Supreme Court's not accountable. The American people are not accountable. We don't hold our children accountable. We're not accountable to one another, and we are not making anything. Our teachers aren't accountable to our students. Our parents aren't accountable to our children. We're passing the buck everywhere. Is he not the sum total of the American people?
The issue is we becoming more that way because this is what we're learning, or is the government reflective of what we are?
I think the government is reflective of what we are.
I disagree. I'll disagree with it. I think people have got more common sense than that.
No. I think common went out the window, and so did sense. And right now, until we actually, because I think a lot of people are asleep, I think people are becoming more and more lazy because of entitlements. I think we are not holding one another accountable. If you look at the divorce rate, if you look at the family rate, if you look at the education, if you look at the accountability factor, period, look at where we are right now. Alabama, what do you think? He's gone. I mean, look at this. I mean, look at really what's going on here. I mean, we don't even – I mean, look at – I think you were telling me about the young man who said, I have a pocket knife in my pocket. He held himself accountable, and they slapped him.
Yeah.
And I think – tell the story. I think you were telling me about the young man who took a pocket knife to school.
Yeah, he took a pocket knife to the football game, I think it was. He was coming from some sort of a hunting thing with one of the organizations he belongs to. He realized he had the pocket knife in his pocket when he walked out of the school property, and so he went and turned himself in. He says, "Here, I brought this in." They slap him with 10 days suspension.
Okay, so now I tried to hold myself accountable for something that I knew that I did that I should not have done, and when I do, you punish me for it. Hello,
that ain't gonna work. All they have to, they could have said, "You know what? You're right. You know, this kid must be a good kid. So what has he learned? Keep your mouth shut."
So how am I gonna hold myself accountable in the future? What I'll do in the future, I'll just either hide, lie, or whatever.
Yeah, lie, cheat, and steal.
That is not – so the President of the United States, is he not the same way?
He said – and I when he was talking about Syria on one of the Sunday talk shows, he said, "We handled the Syrian issue." Huh? You handled the Syrian
issue? It's over?
What's – how has that been handled? There's an Italian word for it, scustamad. That means they don't have any shame. This guy's scustamad, and I've never seen anything like it.
But we allowed a not. Let me say this. I've got to say this, and I'm going to take a break in about 5 minutes. I got my top of the hour break. But I believe that President Obama is a novice. He's an intelligent man, but he's a novice. And when I say he's a novice, he had no business being in there based upon anything that he knew. I, as smart as I think I am and as great as I think I am, if you told me, Tracy, that I'm going to put you as a CEO of General Motors, you would have the wrong person. I am not equipped. I do not have the knowledge. I cannot become the CEO of General Motors. As much as I might want to be the CEO,
right.
I am not prepared for that responsibility.
Yep.
So do not put me in a place just because you like me and think I can actually stand up to the position. If you look at President Obama's his history shows you he was not prepared in any way, shape, or form, even with his ideals being as wacky as we say they are. He was not prepared for anything just based on his voting patterns, based on his history, and based on his work history.
It don't community organize the world. It don't work that way.
And the American people got an emotional frenzy, put a man in who was a novice.
And they put him back
because they scared the crap out of people.
This has got to end. I just...
So my question is, as we look at his process, as we look at his policies, as we look at his directives, as we look at his managerial style, was he the best choice?
No.
So when you look at Mitt Romney.
Yes.
For whatever reason, Mitt Romney did not reflect Americans' goals, their value, nor their ambition. And he is not the president of the United States. And the media allowed it to become to make him a joke. They went after issues they should not have. But as far as if you put him up against Barack Obama and a shoulder to shoulder race, look at what we did.
But they're not looking at the competency; they're looking at the celebrity.
So again, is not America? Because right now, President Obama won this election going on celebrity talk shows, not going on news talk.
He still doesn't go on news talk.
He doesn't have to.
And he won't now, but not the next 3.5 years.
He's a celebrity. So did we not put a man who was a novice and a celebrity figure into the most powerful place in the world and wonder why Putin is kicking him like a football?
But sooner or later, it's going to catch up. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up. I don't know when. I don't know how. But it'll catch up.
412, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Alex.
I can't agree with you. This might be the only time I'm going to quote Herman Cain. But, you know, they asked him the same question. Now, you don't have any political experience, and how can you run for president? And what he said is, well, you guys always complain about, you know, about what the politicians have been doing. Look and look what it's got you, because that's all you've been voting for. And so, you know, I don't think that his inexperience, has anything to do with anything.
Now, wait a minute. When I say inexperience, I'm not talking about his political experience. I'm talking about his experience, period. I said his whole track record. I'm not talking about just his political experience. I mean, yeah, I'm talking about look at his private and his public work experience. He was a community organizer who taught some classes, and he had a law degree, who voted president and was a good speaker and could read a teleprompter and give a good speech.
But if you look at everything he's done, he hasn't done anything different that any of the leading Democrat or Republican candidates would have done. Everything that he's done has been in lockstep with, you know, what if Hillary were president, if Romney were president, if McCain were president. So, I mean,
I don't agree with that. Don't get me wrong. Now, I think he might have been aligned more with John McCain, but not Mitt Romney.
Yeah, Mitt Romney would did it. Because it's comical to me how Mitt Romney tried to go after him he tried to distance himself from Obamacare when he implemented the same thing in Massachusetts, because the plan used to be a Republican plan. In 93, it was pushed by the Republican Senate in 1993, and it was originally a Republican plan, and then Mitt Romney picked it up and instituted it in Massachusetts, and now the Democrats wanted to institute the plan. Oh, we would never do that. Yes, you would. You just did it 20 years ago. That was your plan. And so this stuff just gets under my skin. If a Republican was in office, he would do anything different than what Obama has done. They wouldn't.
You would not have had a massive increase in the debt, where you've got almost the same amount of debt that this guy's brought on that every other president combined, you know, was able to achieve. And I put the achieve in quotes. I'm going to disagree with you that Obamacare was in a Republican idea. It came from a conservative think tank. It was never adopted by the Republicans. And I will tell you, and in defense of Mitt Romney, I would be a little less concerned with Obamacare if it were at the state level than I would at the national level, because the state can't do the things that the national level, what the federal government can do, as far as coercion, as far as looking at our private materials. They're going to ask you questions when you go in to see your doctor about your sex life. It's none of their business, and I'm going to tell them it's none of their business, and I'm going to get told that he can't provide medical care for me because I don't want to tell him about my sex life. Why should I do that? You don't get that at the state level. And the government and the system are a little bit more accountable to the people at the state level than the national level. you know, the Fed, it's less of the plan and more of how it's being, you know, where it's being implemented. You can make adjustments at the state level. You can't make it at the federal level, and you're going to have a rigid bureaucracy. And, you know, Americans are going, we're giving up our freedom for this because everything that we do now, the government can regulate everything at the federal level because it affects the amount of money we have to spend for your health care. And that's what's going to come from it.
216, your mic is on. Hold on, Alex.
Well, thanks. Am I up?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I thought Monday was propaganda and sensationalism day, you know, starring doom and gloom.
Okay.
What's going on? I thought Mark was sort of the voice of reason here. What's going on? You should be on Monday with doom and gloom. I mean, Civil War talk, the president's not going to make it another 3.5 years, prying into your sex life. Really? And, you know,
yeah,
I don't agree
really?
With it. I'm not an Obama fan by any means. But come on now. I mean, this should be on Monday.
I'm not making it up. The doctor is required to ask you certain questions when you go in to see them, and one of the questions they have to ask is describe the nature of your sex life.
Your doctor is going to ask you that, you think?
That's the federal government's
requirement. No, your doctor's going to ask,
doctor's gonna ask
no,
you
your
that.
Your doctor's going to ask you that, and actually they're going to put it into a national database. And there's a list of questions that they're going to be asking you, and actually the doctors get benefited for asking the questions and turning that information back into the national database based into the Affordable Health Care Act.
The president's not going to make it 3.5 years, another 3.5 years? Come on.
I don't think he will.
Come on.
I think the Democratic
– what do you think is going to happen?
I think the Democratic Party is going to come to the conclusion that – listen, the Democratic Party runs by fads, and Obama was the fad du jour for the Democratic Party – 5 years ago. You know, now he's old news. These people aren't stupid. They're looking at the collapse of our foreign policy right now, and they're looking at what is essentially the coming collapse of Obamacare. It won't work in current form. When he lost the unions, Obamacare's done, and he's lost the unions.
What do you think they're going to do?
They're not
going
to be able to tolerate it, and they're going to find a way to get rid of them, and I'm telling you what it's going to be. They're going to get a special prosecutor appointed to take a look at what happened with the IRS. If they can attach what the IRS did to the White House, and I think they're going to be able to do it, he's gone. Because they're interested
and the Democrats
in
are going to do
getting
this.
Hillary Clinton elected.
Come on,
that's
the Democrats are going to do
Hillary
this.
Now. Pardon me?
That you think the Democrats are going
to
do this?
Now you have to understand, it all depends on, and I have to agree with Mark, if it's going, they will throw anybody under the bus to make sure that it doesn't affect 2016.
Obama's still very popular. This is really far-fetched. Let me ask you, what do you want to happen in Syria? Because what I want is for us to stay out of it. You're unhappy with what's going on. What do you think is the best outcome in Syria?
No, I'm not unhappy.
You've got three bad guys fighting each other. Which bad guy do you like? What do you want us to do?
I have not said I've said on numerous occasions, both in my blog and on the air here, I am opposed to military action in Syria. What I am also opposed to is a president that does not have a coherent foreign policy in the Mideast that allowed the situation to develop in the first place. I agree with, I think it was Gates today who said that going in for a military action in order to prove a point is not a good foreign policy. I agree with that. But a good foreign policy would not have allowed this situation to develop. And it goes into his handling of Iraq. It goes into his handling of Afghanistan. It goes into his handling of Benghazi. It goes into how he handled Egypt. And it goes into how he handled Libya. This guy does not have a coherent foreign policy in the Mideast. And the result is the totality of what he's done is the Putin's now calling the shots over there. And there's no way that's good for the United States. We've had hegemony there since the 1970s. And now it's gone, and we're the laughingstock of the world. And if you can tell us how that's good for us, you're a better man than me.
Hold on. 692, your mic is up.
Yeah, I don't know if this guy seriously believes what he says or not, because I agree with the other caller saying that Obama not finishing out his term is just kind of silly. and that the Democrats are going to be the cause of it. I think that that's kind of, to me, the Middle East, the Syria situation, the best outcome would be we get the chemical weapons and we avoid war. And that's what the outcome seems to be heading towards. We get the chemical weapons, we avoid war. Now, if you're opposed to that, then you're just opposed to anything that Obama does. Because in the beginning when Obama, well, when Kerry spoke out of turn and said that we're going to go in, everyone was up in arms. We can't do that. We can't rush in there. We don't want another mistake like George Bush made, okay? So the Republicans jumped on that right away. We can't do that. And then when it looked like we didn't have to go in, we could make a deal, the Republicans says, well, this makes us look weak. Now what are we going to do? So it doesn't matter what Obama chose to do. The haters were going to hate. And now that we have a situation where we get the chemical weapons, we don't have to bomb and millions of dollars, which is another important thing to the Republican. We don't have to do that. Where's the argument? Now it seems like you're grasping for criticism at the outcome that is the best possible outcome of this scenario. No?
Let the icing on the cake, Turkey is inside the cake on that. I don't disagree. Listen, I'm against war in Syria. I don't think we should go into Syria. I agree with the caller that says, who do we pick? Because these are all bad guys. My problem is there is no coherent Mideast policy. And right now, those folks over there, including our allies, which would be Saudi Arabia, Jordan, are going to if they believe they can't rely on us, then we have a problem because Russia's going to be calling the shots. They're already calling the shots over there. It's Russia ascending. Now, is this outcome we have on this good? Oh, sure. I'll spot you that. On the face of it, it's a good thing. But the situation never should have been allowed to have developed in the first place. And that's the problem. The totality of his foreign policy over there has been a failure. And, you know, and right now you bring up Bush, you get tired of Bush. I'm tired of hearing about Bush. Bush's mistake was not taking the oil from Iraq. Bush's mistake was not occupying the country. And the same goes in Afghanistan. And Obama has magnified the mistake by saying we're pulling out, and we're pulling out by this date.
That's the smartest thing he did.
Look where Afghanistan is. Look where Iraq is. We ought to be there. Because in between the two of them is Iran.
Spending trillions of dollars to what? Again, let's be clear. Are we? Our policy in the Middle East has always been one thing: keep stability at all costs, so that the oil keeps flowing. This is where I'll agree with you that Obama's policy doesn't seem to be cohesive to that policy. It keeps stability so that the oil keeps flowing. I agree. I don't understand that part. Because Saudi Arabia wants stability to keep the oil flowing.
The oil will keep flowing whether we're there or not, believe me. Israel, Saudi Arabia, even the countries that are allegedly our enemy, Syria, Iran, they're going to sell us oil whether we're there or not. I don't know how you can say Russia is controlling things. They're not controlling anything. It's a huge civil war going on in Syria and really all over the Middle East. Russia's controlling nothing, and we will get our oil regardless, my opinion.
I'm not worried about the oil. I'm worried about Iran blowing us up with an atom bomb.
Iran is nowhere near blowing us up with an atom bomb, not even close.
If you say so. Just like North
not
Korea.
Not even close.
Just like North Korea.
South Carolina, your mic is on. Alex, you got any comment on this?
And you know, and that's not conservative. War is not conservative. Sorry, go ahead, Alex.
Just a correction. Russia does have a big play into this because Europe gets most of their oil through Russia, because Russia, I believe it, their
basically how they the oil that they import, it's not so it's not directly from the Arab states. You know, Russia has a big hand in that, especially the natural gas that comes into Europe. And so, you know, and they're and there's a they're in the middle of a big pipeline they're trying to build in Syria. And the question is, okay, does it go to Qatar, which is a United States ally, or does it go to Iran? And if it go, and see, the thing is, if it stays with Assad, who is sympathetic with Iran, then all these sanctions that the Europe and United States put on them is all for naught, because they're going to be getting all this money, because you know they're going to get a percentage of all the oil that goes through the pipeline, gas that goes through the pipeline, that gets exported to Europe. So the geopolitics is it's a little more complicated than what people might assume.
Two one six.
No, I'm just listening in. When Alex okay. Alex is like EF Hutton. When Alex speaks, I listen. Got a lot of respect for Alex.
You know, that's amazing, isn't it? Listen, let me take my break.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to take my break. You guys want the phone lines on or off?
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Put them on.
Okay. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. That number is 330-781-9600. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios, it's truck season, and now is the best time to buy a built Ford Tough F-150. Get 0% APR financing for 60 months or lease a new F-150 Supercab for $299 a month. Visit driveoneohio.com.
If you're a responsible homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your responsibility. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for responsible homeowners who are current on their payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. Over 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can cook back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Book your passage today and join me, Randall Craig Fleischer, and the YSO Saturday, September 21st at 8 p.m. in Powers Auditorium for the Youngstown premiere of Avner Dorman's Cello Concerto with Israeli-American cellist Inbal Segar. Call the box office at 330-744-0264 or go online at youngstownsymphony.com. YSO at the Dior is your ticket to great musical entertainment.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor.
Watched out the window as she drove away. But we got so much history, baby. Too much good love. Give a streak of crunch in my wine, but it's just that I'm so damn scared of losing you as you're fading out of sight.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends, and we are live. For those of you who are listening in the first hour, it wasn't me.
Okay, Tracy, you got to tell me what I'm listening to. You've got the best music, I tell you.
I'm listening to Keith Urban today. And Keith Urban is heart like mine.
Amazon likes you because every time I come here, I start downloading.
We're gonna have to get you. You're gonna have to go on radio or Pandora, which is just a $9 a month subscription fee. And you just mix the music up and you put your own playlist together.
Oh, I do that. I mean, I've got my playlist.
Yeah, but
you
didn't even have to download it. It's just there.
But you always pick the great songs. You've never played one song I don't like.
Well, give me a couple days. Because you know my favorite song is, Man of Constant Sorrow by the Soggy Bottom Boys.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. I like that.
Yeah, you know, that's my favorite.
Yeah. I play that and I sing right along with it. I love that song.
Yeah, I'm a. All
right, what's the name of the Keith Urban song you're playing?
Heart Like Mine.
What is it?
Heart Like Mine.
Heart Like Mine.
Heart Like Mine.
All right.
Heart Like Mine.
Are you gonna sing for us?
am a man of constant sorrow. Oh, yeah. That's my favorite. Y'all don't understand that. There's something about that song.
Are you going to play it?
No, I'm not playing it today because they talk about me really bad when I play it.
Why?
Because.
I'll sing with it. Sing with it.
Okay, I'll find it. The number is 347-945-5229. Now, you know what? It's really, really sad. I went to a wedding. I went to a brunch, and they were having a wedding outside, and that's called bluegrass.
Yeah.
And we were trying to have a fundraiser, and we wanted to have a bluegrass band there. And I was trying to get them to call me so that I could figure out how to book them for a bluegrass, gig.
Yeah.
And for some reason, people didn't believe me. They thought it was a joke.
Why?
And I guess they don't think that black folks listen to bluegrass.
Why?
I don't know. But I like a bluegrass. I don't know how that happened. But I like a new. Oh,
you just like George Clooney from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
That happened. And even though he's a liberal,
yeah,
you might have something there. But he didn't sing it, and so it's okay. Hey, Stick says he's here clear as a bell down in New Philadelphia.
Well,
Stick is traveling.
Stick is traveling. Does he explain his?
And he is down in New Philadelphia, and he said he can hear us clear as a bell.
Really?
That's good to know.
I couldn't hear you on the street outside.
But you
can
hear me in New Philadelphia. That's all that matters. We're back, and the conversation is up. We were talking about President Obama.
We need to go down to New Philadelphia. I think we should go down. I don't know how your remotes work, but we ought to go. We ought to go on the road down.
We can go on the road anywhere. Modern technology. We can go to Australia down under and do a remote.
I think we need to go down to where a lot of our listening audience is and go down and do a little road trip down there this fall.
That would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
That would be fun. Go down to the 6th Congressional District.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be fun.
Hello, Trey.
Hey, 207, how you doing?
Not bad. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good for you. Hey, I was just calling. Just in general, have been listening to the program and stuff, and I have to say, in general, to Mark, the last two gentlemen that you had spoke with there, I'm going to say, you might not like hearing it, but I'm going to say it was very refreshing, the couple questions that they had said, the one when he had asked you basically, which one of the bad guys do you like? I mean, I agree with him. Hardhole totally in this situation in general. I also agree what the other gentleman said and made a lot of sense on the fact that I'm going to say your side of the fence, your party in general is not going to agree with anything that this president does. Granted, he's not a perfect president, but we haven't had any in general, and nobody's perfect. So therefore, but I mean, every which way you turn, he just can't get any type of respect or cooperation. So I just wanted to say, but for myself as a black man, my problems and stuff in this country is way different, but it was very refreshing to hear them two gentlemen make the statements that they did in general. So I just wanted to get that across for my part, Trace. I had to get that in there. And, we'll continue to listen to what you all are talking about.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. You're welcome.
Sure.
The number is 347-945-5229.
I want to reiterate.
Go ahead.
I have said consistently that I am opposed to us going into Syria. That's not the point. I am not any means to justify the end. The trick is to not go into Syria without destroying our foreign policy, and this is what's happened. It's not the Syria event that's at issue here. The issue is that for 5 years we've had a policy that's been inconsistent, one of conciliation, that if we just step back and shake these people's hands, that we're all going to get along. In most cases, that's not going to work, and certainly in the Arab world, that's not going to work because they understand strength. Now, if the issue isn't whether Obama did did or did not go into Syria. The issue is he never should have made that statement a year ago about the red line. That's what caused the problem. Don't challenge people to do things to you if you're not going to keep your promises. That's the issue. That doesn't mean I think we should go in. I oppose going in under any circumstance with this. But his general overall foreign policy is when there's a vacuum, somebody rushes in to fill it. That's the number one rule of foreign policy, and Obama's created a vacuum in the Mideast, and it's being filled by Russia right now. And I think, you know, the issue we have is an emboldened Iran, an emboldened North Korea. You don't know what they have and what they don't. You think North Korea, maybe Iran does or doesn't have a nuclear weapon, but certainly North Korea does. We don't know where those are. We don't know. They say we do, but we don't.
216, your mic is on.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, I like Mark a lot. He's a great guest. So I hate that this is turning into a beat up Mark day. But you can handle it. I know. You can take it.
Beat up all the time.
You can take it.
Go ahead.
Good. So you say you don't want to go into Syria, but I heard you say that Bush's mistake was not occupying Iraq and Afghanistan. So I don't think you're being truthful. I think you do want the United States in the Middle East. I think you want troops on the ground. I think you do want that. And I guess my point would be, you know, what are they doing wrong to us? I just don't see it. I don't know what they're doing that we need to be occupying them. What is it that they're doing? And I understand you're worried about that they have weapons. You're worrying about something that hasn't happened, and you're thinking preemptive strike. I think that's in your mind. You want to occupy places. You know, why don't we wait till they do something and then obliterate them?
No, that hasn't happened yet. Some people you don't wait and see. You know, I come from the street, and where I come from, if you know they're going to hit you, I was always told to hit them first. These are not people that you play with, and you don't wait for them to do something, because when they do something, they're going to do it in a major way. What you do is you try to defuse them before they do it. And somehow we've got to get onto the side where we have stabilization. See, one thing that Mubarak and Gaddafi and them had over in the Middle East was that they stabilized it. And even if you didn't like them, I mean, you gotta understand that. Even if you didn't like who they were, if you didn't like what they did, they stabilized the Middle East to where we weren't concerned about Syria. When we destabilize the Middle East, and when you don't have that stabilization there, it causes for concern, because remember, we are still in a war where they despise Israel and Israel's best friend. We cannot forget that, whether it be Assad or whether it be the rebels. There is a group of Arab-speaking nations around there who they are not in favor of the Western world. And America has had some, and I said this before, America's bad policies over the year have compounded each other on top of each other to where we are today. So we can't blame President Obama for everything in the Middle East, but we can say that his policy right now in the Middle East is ineffective.
It's just not Obama's policy.
No.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Iraq,
no,
because I think they misinterpreted what I'm trying to say. Did I agree with George Bush going into Iraq? I don't know. Under the circumstances as described to us back when it happened, probably yes, but so did the rest of the world. We had bad intelligence. But the point is, we have now fought for Iraq twice. Look at a map. Look at a map. If you want to be anywhere in the Mideast, you want to be in Iraq. So we go in there under Bush the First. We go up to the border and we stop. It's the single dumbest thing I've ever seen. Now we go into Iraq a second time, and we march right into Baghdad. And they're, you know, instead of trying to stabilize it, we're going to have nation building. We're going to give these people a democracy. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. They're never going to get a democracy over there. They're not used to it. They don't have our background. They don't have our cultural mores. There'd never be a democracy over in countries like that. So what do you do? We paid for it. We gave them their, quote, freedom, end quote. Take the oil. If they're not going to go into a place and stick to it, don't go. If they're not going to go into a war and win it, don't fight the war. The fact that we did it, you look at a map, Iran's in the middle. Jimmy Carter should have gone in there. I don't know how old the listeners are out there, but Jimmy Carter should have gone in there when they took over our embassy and wiped those jackasses off the face of the earth. And he didn't do it. He couldn't even get the helicopters to fly in. They crashed in the desert. You know, this is bad stuff. If we want to keep out, keep out. But if we're going to go in 100% or don't go. Now, we fought for Iraq once. We fought for Iraq twice. I'll tell you what, if Iran, if the cuckoo mullahs in Iran get their hands on a nuclear weapon, we're going to be fighting for Iraq a third time. No piece of ground should be fought for more than once.
It's called politics. If they would let the soldiers and the Marines and all the war fighters go in there and do what they do best, and that's give the enemy every opportunity he can to die for his country, I think we're going to see some results. But these guys, they want to play politics. There's really no diplomacy in war. You fight it to win. That's all there is to it.
And not only that, the problem is we've allowed them to politicize very, very serious stuff. See, that's my biggest problem. And as I told Mark during the break, foreign policy is not my expertise. And so I'm
You're
not
doing
gonna,
sound good, Tracy.
I'm not going to lie to you and say that it is because it's not. But what is the politics that goes into making decisions. And see, where we have faltered as the American people, we have allowed our politics to rule the day and not our sense. Decisions should be made based upon facts and based upon projections, not based upon your political ideals or what's going to get you elected in the next 4 years. Because even when you look at the vote on Syria, the reason why Congress did not want it to go to the floor is because Democrats did not want to upset their base. Not because there is a midterm election coming. Not because they were concerned about us getting bombed or what was going on in Syria. That is a problem. And as American people, we need to pay attention to how people are making their decisions. And I don't think we understand that you don't politicize a decision based upon your next race. You make a decision based upon what's going to be good for the American electorate and for the country at large. And our foreign policy for the last 50 years has been based upon political aspiration and personal gain.
If you look at since World War II in this country, I don't think we have won one war.
Yeah, we have. They said we won the Bush won?
We stopped.
Oh. How about Korea?
Saddam was still there.
Yes, Saddam was there.
How did we win that?
Well, we won. We liberated Kuwait. We did win that war. In the second Iraq war, I'd say we won. We ousted
did
Saddam.
Did we win that?
Sure we did. We ousted Saddam. We beat the Republican Guard. They're
right.
No longer
right.
In power. So we did win those wars. And I agree with everything you guys have both just said. However, one thing I would just say, just as a statement, I think the president's been an absolute miserable failure, except in foreign policy, because he's kept us out of wars. Sure he has. You know, we've drawn down in Iraq. We're pulling out of Afghanistan. And in my opinion, that's a good thing. And that's where we differ. Go ahead.
That's where we differ, because I have to say this. I think he has continued some policy. But if you think this Syria thing is a win, the problem is it ain't over. See, if it
You're
was,
right.
if it was
we'll
a,
see.
I mean, it, I would be okay if we made a decision, it was over, and it's a done deal. This is not over, and so he didn't defuse anything, nor did he set policy and or precedent. And a gaffe by Kerry and an assist by Putin did not reflect a good policy change on American soil and Americans and American leadership. America is supposed to be the premier and it's supposed to be the best. And for some reason, we have faded from that and it's bad.
What I'm wondering, and it was a gaffe, and then the Russians picked up on it, and the president has been strangely silent about what the Russians are doing and saying, except for some what looked to be a for show protest about, oh, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. I wonder whether the president gave anything to Putin, what he promised Putin. I mean, Putin really...
Hey Mark?
Pulled him out of the fire.
Remember this? It's after the election. I'll have more leeway. Remember that statement?
I'll be more flexible. Remember when President Obama, the mics were hot, and he was having a conversation with Putin, and
Medvedev.
Him. So that's what I said. Good going. Ventriloquist. Throw your voice. Sound like Jeff.
Let me clarify something.
That
guy was
asking them Noga.
Yeah. I'm not even going to try it. I speak Spanish. I speak English. I speak a little Italian. That little Russian thing got to go.
Oh, Russian's great. It's one language.
Oh, yeah. That's what they tell me. I'm going to Russia, and I'm going to speak English.
Yeah, I studied that for 10 weeks. I would drive to the University of Pittsburgh. I went to the Russian Institute, University of Pittsburgh, and I would, at the time I was doing this, was either a 6 or a 10 week course from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Mark has issues and Jeff has issues. Jeff. So this man, the mics were on right before the election. The mic was hot. They didn't know the mic was hot. And President Obama said, "I'll have more flexibility after the election."
Relating to what?
We never found that one out.
It's got to be nuclear disarmament.
We never heard the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
But it was an oops moment. Go ahead, Jeff.
Did anybody ask him? Did anybody ask the president about that?
Nope.
Why didn't someone just ask him? We heard that. We all heard you. What were you talking about?
For some reason, the media has a
problem.
The media has a problem with asking direct questions. I mean, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. I was watching Sunday morning, the talking head shows, and they had Secretary of State, I believe, Secretary of State Kerry on, and they were asking him about Syria, and I have major issues that they were asking him about Syria, but they would not go after the hard questions and refute him on a lot of issues. They had their talking notes, they had their talking points, they had their line of questioning that he already had, and they allowed it to go through. And I just think that's a bad way of doing business. When people call on here, they ask me, "Do you know what you're going to ask me?" And I tell them, "No, I don't," because
Tracy,
based upon what you say should be the next answer or the next question that I ask you,
Tracy.
Yes.
What gets me is I've never seen someone get so many chances. I think he's getting his chances because he's supposed to be black. And I feel like, obviously, whatever it was he was about to do, he was fearful that it would cost him the election, so he's going to wait. So it's obviously going to be something that the majority of Americans like. He knows that. So whatever it is he's doing, he's going to do it because he feels like. So whatever it is, it's not good. I'm going to do something and screw the American people, but I can't do it until after the election because I might lose if I do it now. That's what they're saying. I don't need him to tell me anything else. This man getting too many chances, and it's just because he's supposed to be black. And if you see something racist.
Hold on. Is it because he's black, or is it because he is who he is and who owns the media outlets?
Yes.
Or is it a little bit of both?
Yes. Although I think the African American,
the black card works.
Yeah, but I think it's working less. Discontent I'm seeing seems to be pretty much policy driven right now.
But I still don't see them going after him. I mean, I need to ask you why your shirt is the color that it is, and if you tell me an answer that I don't like, push you for a better answer. You know, Tim Russert was good at that.
Yeah.
The new guy who followed in his place, he needs to go home and take a nap.
They look too good. They're not hungry anymore.
Because the American people deserve answers. And our journalists should be asking the questions that we need to find the answers to so that we can become better educated and we can become better at what we do. This little mamby-pamby, muffy-puffy, what we're doing right now is not going to work, and it's destroying the fabric of our country.
And I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to criticize some Republicans.
Them too? I'm not discriminating.
No, I'm going to say, you know, you know, and I'm just going to use the our state for example. I don't know if you saw the Vindicator on Sunday, but the guy from Cleveland, Fitzgerald, is running for governor. You know, pretty much put a letter to the editor in outlining what his campaign issues, and it looked like the opening salvo of the gubernatorial race here in Ohio. And you know, I commented to some Republicans in town. You know, the governor needs to respond, and I hope the governor does respond to that, because you can't play namby-pamby with these people. And I don't care if it's the state level, local level, national level. They got to get some fire in their belly and go after this guy.
We don't have fire in the belly.
We
because
need to get fire
we can't
belly.
Get fire in the belly because the belly is full.
It's full with those wonderful rings.
Tracy,
yeah, Alabama.
That guy's not going out of office. Y'all need to get that up, man. Look, that'll be racism. It'll be riots in the streets. The guy's not going anywhere. He's going to be there for 4 years. Just look past it. They're not going to impeach him. That's unrealistic, man. I agree with the other caller in that regard. They're not going to get – that's just far-fetched.
And
he's worse than Nixon. He's done some stuff worse than Nixon, but even still, this guy's not going anywhere.
Let me tell you this one. If he's found to have used the IRS for what he did to these organizations, it's just about there, okay, you're going to have some issues, and the Democrats are not going to want to deal with that come 2016. They will let Vice Nincompoop be president for a couple years to get him out the way so he don't mess things up trying to run in 2016 as well, and let Obama go because he's worthless now. He's lame duck. You have to understand, you're in the Middle East for the balance of power.
He's not worthless. He's dangerous, Jeff. He doesn't have to worry about reelection. He's very powerful right now.
He's not very powerful. He's a lame duck, and that's the whole thing. His people are turning on him now, finally. Did you hear, like I said, did you hear the two former defense secretaries this morning slamming him on his Syrian policy? Understand, you're not getting out of Syria, and those that called me doom and gloom, thank you. Doom and gloom tells you that it is going to be assault out of power, or it is not, or there won't be no peace. They could give a flip about removing the poison gas. That don't mean nothing to these people. They don't care whether 1,400 people got gassed. That's stupid. Why didn't we care about that, and we didn't stop millions of people dying in Darfur and the other places that are killing their people off daily? Okay, so think, just think. Russia is dominating the sale of oil in that part of the Middle East. They are stopping the pipeline from being built from Yemen up to the other places. And if they don't stop that, Russia will continue to have all of that power, and they will then be the lead contenders for the number one petrodollar in the world. You have to understand. That's what this is about. It has nothing to do with anything. Last thing, Obama has destabilized the entire Middle East. The entire Middle East. You've let him give it over to radical people who will use a bomb because they believe it's going to bring their God back. Don't think that these people are rational like you. They think differently from a whole total different perspective.
Jeff, he didn't give it over to them. They're doing our bidding. okay? I know that sounds...
No. Obama gave it over to them. We went in, and Mark was right. Colin Powell told you go in and take the country over or forget about it. And you didn't, and so they blew it, but we were at least were still there. We had a jump-off point to stop Iran. Now, Obama comes in with his namby-pamby, why can't we be friends? And then he says, we're going to pull out right now and on this date. So they know, they wait. And then they go through and they killed everybody to help the United States that they could. They killed them. This is what this idiot did. This is why you have a situation that is as volatile as it is. And it's more to Biden because he trusted them, and then they killed our people in Benghazi. They'll do the same thing again.
Hey,
go ahead, Alex.
This is Alex.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear this argument, this charge against Obama. He gave a date that he was going to leave. I mean, what's the alternative? That we just stay there indefinitely and it just sucks our it just creates this money pit in our national debt and we pay on it forever? I mean, what's the alternative?
Alex, you needed a jump off spot to be there to stop Iran. Now, you cannot stop them. The only one that can stop them is Israel. And if Israel stops them, you have World War III because you know everybody's going to jump in.
It's completely ridiculous because even before we invaded Iraq, we had 30 military bases surrounding Iran before we invaded Iraq. So that this argument that we needed a jump off point. What about the dozens of military bases that we've had for decades over there?
And where are they now?
This is just nonsense.
Guys, this is the issue. Now let me I'm not gonna profess to know a whole lot about foreign policy because I don't. But I do know this. Israel, the Middle East is different than anywhere else in the globe because we will never have peace in the Middle East. But what we can do is stabilize it, and right now it is so volatile because they're itching. I mean, you ever met people who's itching for a fight? These guys love to fight. They fight with their cousins, their brother, their dog, their cat. They love to fight. That's all they do. They're warriors. And they don't mind dying for their cause.
Tracy, let me say something though. Tracy, those people, when this is the thing, I agree that there are people that think like that. I believe there are a lot of people in millions, over 100 million people in the Middle East that think like that. What I'm saying is that let's not just go beat the war drums or be so quick to be a pawn in a game, because if someone is actually trying to play chess with us, we're not giving any thought to it that, okay, they're playing a chess game. They're thinking four moves ahead. So these people have us wanting to send our sons and daughters to die and fight to do things. Look, I say let's have the strongest military in the world. You set off one nuke in a matter of an hour, you're going to be nuked. And I promise you we'll be safe. And that's the problem. Israel will be safe. If somebody nukes Israel, that country will be destroyed. People know this. We need to stop acting like, I mean, I bet you if Iran got a nuke, Iran is not as crazy as you think these people are. Let's see. I mean, that's the thing. It's going to happen. We cannot forever. America, the dollar's going to go. America's not going to be here. And whatever you're trying to stop and running our blood pressures up to stop, it's going to happen one day. These bases are going to shut down because we cannot sustain the financial output that we have. So it's coming either way. It's either going to happen today, tomorrow, or 50 or 100 years, but it's going to happen one day. So we can't just defend everybody and keep everybody safe all over the world forever. America's not built like that.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Alabama. Okay. All right. I think the only person that was alive back when, well, maybe Jeff, but Mark remembers the 1963. You know, when or even back before then, we had the atomic bomb.
About 7 years old then.
All of a sudden, we get over the wire. The AP or UPI says that the Russians have, you know, detonated a nuclear bomb. Okay. The only problem with that, they did it on their soil. When we find out, when we find out that the Iranians have a nuclear bomb, it may be blowing up on the White House lawn.
That's the problem.
They've got one. That's the problem there. And see, you've got to be active. Well, hey, we thought it was complete nonsense when we found out that we thought that we were the only ones that had the nuclear bomb. We thought we were the only ones, and all of a sudden
it wasn't.
Let him get a start out. He talks slower than you. Go ahead, South Carolina.
You know, what, 2 years later, then the Russians blow up a bomb, and you've got two superpowers that were once allies, now opposed to each other.
Okay. And the point
Let him finish. Go ahead.
You got to think of it from a military strategy, and that's the only way you can deal with people that consider themselves warriors.
The point I was trying to make, South Carolina, is that there was a program called Paperclip where we all rushed for these guys. They were brought in through the CIA illegally because they were war criminals that participated in Nazi war camps. These guys should have been war criminals. These guys came over and they helped us get the bomb. And when they did the same thing for the Russians. So we just split the sides. It's called Paperclip, Operation Paperclip.
Some of the stuff you're getting, man, is propaganda.
It's not propaganda. Just Google it. Am I lying? Is there somebody else on here that has heard of Operation Paperclip?
Yeah.
You hadn't heard about the German scientists that us and Russia split up after the war? After World War II?
Absolutely.
They were supposed to be Nazis, right?
Wait a minute, hold on. Go ahead and say, Alex.
I said that's an established fact. We both Russians and Americans used the leftover German scientists to develop the bomb. That's truth. I mean, you can't argue with that.
And it wasn't just for the bomb. It was for all those psychological things, too. It wasn't just for that. It was done for all type of stuff.
Yeah, even chemical and biological weapons, everything. They use them for all that shit.
Psychological stuff. Those same guys even work with big major companies. That's why when you go to the store, the packages, the cars, everything, the way the light flickers on your television, all that stuff has been studied and documented. In fact, Sigmund Freud's nephew or something, he's the father of this stuff. He came out with a lot of stuff that is, and that's why you have things the way they are, the way people market. He fathered that stuff, but he had a lot of sinister reasons for doing it. He wasn't just doing it for marketing. He was doing it to control people. That's what this stuff is. And so when you talk about the media and what they're telling you, we're being played like pawns when we talk about this terrorism thing. We are. The lady that got a microchip implanted in her body, first words out of her mouth was, well, after 9/11, I got scared. So that's what they want you to do is think like that. And I know it sounds crazy, but look, I'll be the first one. If they blow something up, wipe them off the map. I'll be the first one. But who's going to be that stupid? I ain't going to say there aren't crazy, radical Islamic people in the world that will do things. Maybe we just need to let these people loose and go ahead and just get it over because it's coming. It's going to come. America's not going to always be there to defend Israel. One day our dollar's going to bust. Everybody agrees with that, and when it does, what are we going to do? Who's going to defend Israel when that happens?
You know what? Let me also say, I think you're 100% right, and let me say something about Israel. Israel can handle their own business. Israel could beat all of their enemies combined if they had to.
Yeah.
And we're the ones that tie their hands behind their backs. We could pull out. Israel would handle themselves, and Israel would take care of all that. And Jeff,
World War III.
If we go into Syria
right now, and Assad keeps to his word, they will blow up. There will be another world war, and life as America knows it. Because life in America will change forever again. And we need to be honest about that.
I think the problem that I've seen the last, I haven't felt.
Because we have no money. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I haven't felt this uncomfortable relating to foreign policy since the Cuban Missile Crisis. I think right now we're closer to war, maybe a little less so this week than last week, but I you know, that was scary stuff. Those who study history, you know, wars never entered into deliberately unless you're Adolf Hitler. For the most part, wars are stumbled into. They're by accident. I think right now we're probably closer to a world war than we've been in a long, long, long time. The Russian United States, the Soviet Union, United States bipolar kind of stabilization kept peace in the world for many years. We've had a couple of small wars, but nothing that was major. If there's nobody there minding the store, we can stumble into it very, very easily, quite by accident, whether it's something, a line that's been drawn in the sand that the President of the United States needs to save face over, or whether it is just Iran going nuts. Or
Iran can't go nuts.
Shot in Yugoslavia. I mean, it's we're close.
I think you're blowing this out of proportion. You're blowing it out of proportion. You know, Iran can't go nuts. You know, these are minor players we're talking about here. You know, Syria is nothing. And if you're saying Russia's going to jump in on it, I don't think that's going to happen.
Serbia was a nothing country that started World
exactly.
War One. Yeah, you know, this it's the minor stuff you have to be careful of.
If Iran is such a minor issue,
why is everybody so concentrated on them right now?
It's, I don't know, and that's my point, my opinion, I guess. They shouldn't be. They should not be.
But they are. It's the R that's the problem.
Hey, guys, I'm done for the day. I'll see you guys. Jeff will be here tomorrow. I'm going to go and go down to Cincinnati and do some work down there, and I'll see you guys back here on Monday. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. God bless you guys, and look forward to having you with us on tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised.
Money, what's up?